I'd like to call this special session to order and ask that the town clerk take roll call.
Mayor Winfield.
Present.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
Special session agenda item one. Mr. Standish.
Presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2019-20 financial update through September 2019.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm pleased to be presenting our monthly financials through September this evening. I'm pleased to report that things are looking positive in all of our funds year to date. Our revenues are trending at or over budget with where we would expect them to be at this point in the fiscal year. And our expenditures are trending at or under budget. So all good news tonight to report. I'll be touching on the general fund, highway fund, and community center fund. In the general fund through September, our revenues are at about $10.2 million. That's compared to $8.5 million last fiscal year. Our revenue budget is $39.4 million. On the expenditure side, our expenditures year-to-date are at about $9.5 million. And you can see the prior year actual comparison of $8.3 million. Our expenditure budget in the general fund is $41.9 million. So both revenues and expenditures trending on performance to budget or exceeding budget expectations at this point. Touching on some of the general fund highlights, just going through some of our revenue sources that we're already expecting to come in over budget. First, our local sales tax collections. We're expecting those to exceed budget by just over $400,000 or 2.1%. And that's due to collections that we're seeing in construction sales tax. We tend to budget pretty conservatively for those revenues because they can sometimes be volatile. So those are exceeding our expectations at this point. Our license and permit revenues, those are also estimated to come in over budget by about $213,000 or close to 11%. And that's due to activity that we're seeing on both the residential and commercial building side, as well as grading permits. And our interest income revenues, we budget those pretty conservatively as well, just because of the chance of volatility also. But those earnings are exceeding budget by quite a bit, and we're expecting those to come in over by about $440,000. And that's just due to better than expected interest earnings that we're seeing on our investments. That's revenues. On our expenditure side, we're estimating to end the year under budget by about $220,000 or 0.5%, and that's due to some personnel savings that we're pretty certain of so far in the fiscal year. Overall, in our general fund, we have a planned use of fund balance now at just under $1.3 million for one-time expenditures. And that's going to bring our year-end estimated fund balance to about $18.3 million. Just to note, that is just under 44% of our budgeted expenditures. Our policy, as a reminder, is 25%. Moving on to the highway fund, our revenues are at about $1.1 million compared to about $870,000 at this point last fiscal year. Our revenue budget is $3.8 million. On the expenditure side, our expenditures year-to-date are just under $400,000. That's compared to a prior year of just over $600,000. And that's due to, as you might recall, some realignment that we did in the highway fund during the budget process where some of those costs have been shifted to the general fund, our street maintenance staff, as well as some administrative folks who are now covered with the general fund, and that avoids us having to do a transfer subsidy into the highway fund. And so our expenditures in the highway fund are now very closely aligned with our gas tax revenues, our HERF gas tax revenues from the state that flow into that fund. Some specific highlights for revenues and expenditures. The HRF gas tax revenues are estimated to exceed budget. And this came to you in the August financials. So this is just a recap. We still have this in place. We did get a one-time allocation. All cities and towns actually got this one-time allocation in the state budget. So we are expecting our gas tax revenues to come in over by about $200,000. Overall, in the highway fund, total revenues are estimated to exceed budget by about $232,000. For the time being, we still have our expenditures estimated on budget. And overall, in the highway fund, we are looking at a planned use of fund balance of just over $100,000, and that's going to bring our year-end estimated fund balance to about $762,000. Moving on to the Community Center Fund, through September, our revenues are about flat to where they were last fiscal year at about $1.4 million. That's compared to our overall budget this fiscal year of $6.7 million. On the expenditure side, slightly less than what we're seeing last year at $1.6 million compared to $1.7 million, with a total expenditure budget this year of $6.5 million. Some highlights for the Community Center Fund. Our revenues are estimated to exceed budget by about $125,000, or just under 2%. And that's due mostly to the outside play on the member course that we've now gone ahead and factored into our year-end estimate. So that's the bulk of that overage there. On our expenditure side, those are estimated to come in under budget by just under $60,000, or 0.9%. And that's some savings that we are expecting to see in our contracted operating expenditures. Overall, total revenues in the Community Center Fund are projected to exceed total expenditures in the fund by about $479,000. And that's going to bring our year-end fund balance estimate to just under $1 million, about $975,000. And with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Council, questions? Vice Mayor Barron.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm pleased to see the budget numbers coming in so well so far this year, and I thank the staff for the work that they've done on that. I just wanted a clarification on the $975,000 year-end projection in the Community Center Fund. In the updated 10-year forecast that we've been provided, we're looking at a different number in the 700 range. Could you help us to understand what the number is we're looking at now versus what the numbers are in the 10-year forecast?
Yes, Vice Mayor, or Mayor and Vice Mayor. The 10-year forecast is using the budget numbers for the current year still, so we're using the budgeted revenue and budgeted expenditure numbers. As Wendy presented, we're doing about $125,000 to the good on the revenue side and $57,000 to the good on the expenditure side. So that approximately $200,000 has not been factored into the 10-year forecast that we've done, primarily because we don't want to have to go in and update those numbers and have a different number in there every month. And so our thought was we would wait until year-end, update it when we have actual numbers for council. But just to try to leave the numbers consistent so we can compare them as we're looking at them.
Okay, thank you. So we're currently projecting to do even a little better in terms of the amount that we have in the Community Center Fund at this year end than what is being shown on the 10-year forecast.
Mayor and Vice Mayor, correct. By approximately $200,000, we're projecting today that the numbers will be $200,000 better than what's in the 10-year forecast.
Okay, thank you.
Any other? Okay. Here, seeing no other questions, we'll move on to presentation number two.
Presentation, discussion, and possible direction to staff regarding implementation of the Town Council's October 2nd, 2019 decision regarding the town's community center and golf operations.
As a reminder to the folks that have joined us this evening, both those present and not present, this is a continuation from our November 6th discussion on this topic. At that time, we had a public hearing and received blue cards. This evening, I'm not going to be accepting blue cards for this topic. And so the staff will make a presentation, and then we'll have a discussion by the council. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. Just a very quick recap from last week. As you know, on October 2nd, the council asked staff to put together options and recommendations to finance capital improvements for both the community center and the golf courses. And on November, this was after the council had provided direction regarding the continuation of the 36 holes. So on November 6th, 2 weeks ago at that meeting, the staff went through a detailed presentation that I won't be doing tonight, but we do have those slides available if the council needs to refer to any of those during the course of the conversation. But what we reviewed with you are the assumptions that were made and the projections, and then three different options: pay-as-you-go, interfund loans, and bonds. And then finally, a recommendation that was a kind of a hybrid of all of those three different pieces. And again, all of that information is included in the agenda item backup material for the benefit of our viewing public as well as the council. At the meeting 2 weeks ago, one of the things that I mentioned to you in the recommendation, which was that we would move forward, or that we could, excuse me, move forward with making irrigation improvements in one of the courses this summer. And I stated that we weren't entirely certain that that would be possible given the number of procurement and process and evaluation and that, you know, going out to bid and that sort of thing that would be required in order to make that happen. Because we were putting our numbers together in October, and this is now almost Thanksgiving, and so, you know, time has a factor. So over the last week or so, we really dug in especially to figure out, is that even possible? And we came to the conclusion with the holidays coming up and, you know, that it would be a rush, and I don't like to do things that are rushed. I don't think that's good for the organization. I think we make mistakes that way. And so we have revised our recommendation to council, and I've had an opportunity to brief each of you individually, but I'll just summarize it briefly for the community. And then, of course, we're available to answer any questions that you may have. So our revised staff recommendation would have recommend that we would do the irrigation projects over two summers, starting in the summer of 2021 and the summer of 2022. And it actually covers three fiscal years because our fiscal year, of course, starts on July 1, but it really is two calendar years. So in order to get there, what we would recommend is that next fiscal year, so about July through December, about a good six-month process, that we would have the course evaluated, the irrigation system completely designed for both courses together into one system, and then, of course, go through all of the city, the town approvals, the water department, and, you know, those sorts of things, and be ready then to go out to bid for in early 2021. We would then recommend soliciting bids and awarding a contract for both courses. We get some economies of scale that way, and then, but over the two summers, and in recalculating then, because of the timing of the work that would occur, recalculating that information, what the result is that the irrigation improvements can be paid for with fund balance, so in other words, pay as you go from the community center fund, with one potential tiny exception, which is a up to a $600,000 borrow in the final fiscal year of the project, but effectively a one-day loan. And I'll let our chief financial officer tell you a little bit about that here just on the next slide. We just have the two slides. So the projections still include all of those original assumptions on cost escalation and timing and that sort of thing, so I won't go into any of those in detail, but we're prepared to address them. And the projection does still include the potential financing of a bond or the debt service for resources to pay for the community center, if should that be the council's direction. It is the staff's recommendation to do that, and by showing you the numbers on the next page, we'll explain a little bit about why that's the staff's recommendation. And then our recommendation does still reflect a $500,000 minimum fund balance, which is something that we included in our initial recommendation. So with that, I'm just going to have Kevin Arts briefly review the numbers again, just so everyone's kind of on the same page, and then I'll make some final remarks, and then we're here for you, Mr. Mayor, members of council.
I'm just going to check in. Council Member Jones-Ivy, are you following the conversation?
I am following.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. As the town manager mentioned, this is staff's revised recommendation, and it basically pushes out the golf course improvements one additional year. And so what you'll see here is here in year two, which is fiscal year 2021, we're showing $700,000, and that's basically for the design of the capital improvements for both courses. And then the construction would occur in fiscal or in year three, which is fiscal year 21-22, and then in year four, which is fiscal year 22-23. And so in order to make this work, we do require a $600,000 intra-fund loan from the general fund, but then that would be paid back the very next year. And so as the town manager mentioned, we could even do it where we book that receivable in the general fund on June 30th, and then July 1st of the next fiscal year or the next day, we could repay that loan. But it's just based on the fund balance numbers, we do believe that we'll need some amount of a general fund transfer, interfund loan. And that could potentially be as low as $90,000. So we're showing $510,000. If we only wanted to transfer the balance that we needed, we could do a $90,000 interfund loan. Or it's possible, as we talked earlier, that this number may be $200,000 better when we get here into year four, and we wouldn't need any type of general fund loan on it. But we wouldn't know that until that fiscal year. So with that, we would basically be able to do all of the golf course improvements on as a pay-as-you-go with a small potential for a general fund interfund loan, and then still doing the community center in this scenario, where we would issue bonds and start the repayment next fiscal year, have a half-year payment, and then full-year payments going out here to year six. The other option would be, you know, here we have $2.6 million of ending fund balance. So at that point, we would potentially be able to pay off those bonds. So if we issued them at 10-year bonds, in year six or year seven, we could potentially pay those off in advance and have that bond paid off in a 5 or 6 year period. The other option, if it wanted to go all pay as you go, we would have to wait until year six in year seven, which isn't shown on the slide, until we would have enough funds in the community center fund to fund the community center improvements on a pay-as-you-go basis. So that's really what we come down to in looking for council direction here is, do we want to issue bonds and get those improvements done here in year two, or do we want to wait until the cash is collected and get it constructed in year six or seven?
And Mr. Mayor, if I may, one of the things, you know, this is a very complex discussion, obviously, and as you can see from this projection, this is not something that is going to happen overnight. This will take a number of iterations. It'll take a number of budget approvals that come back to the council. What we're, you know, we're looking for general direction on the part of the on the part of the council. However, what we're not looking for at this point, we're not looking for a bond authorization. That is something that would happen, you know, much farther down the line, should that even be something that the council decides to do. And everything that we identify in terms of even capital investments that need to be made requires additional approvals on the part of the council. So no matter what, this comes back to you for that budget authorization, whether that is in the annual budget or whether that is in the, which would have to happen no matter what, or whether that would include a bond authorization. But what I can tell you for sure about the community center project is that there are a lot of steps that, you know, first I recommend we get the input from the residents on the needs assessment, and then we have to develop a master plan with community input, and at every one of those steps, we would come back to council, make sure we got your direction before we moved forward. And so one option that certainly is available for the council to consider is holding off on making a determination about the funding for the community center and simply expressing your interest or not interest in wanting to move forward with the planning piece, in which case then that would give me the direction needed to put the appropriate amount of resources in the budget for next year so that we can move forward with that piece and then come back to you, you know, at those different intervals and get subsequent direction with alternative funding. We'll have new numbers updated at that point. And with every year, just like we do an updated five-year forecast, things change. You know, the next year looks better. For year one is always a pretty good estimate. Year two is okay. By the time you get out to three, four, and five, you know, it changes, which is why we go back and do it every year. And so we would be doing the same thing here. We're getting ready to issue a competitive solicitation for a golf operator. So, you know, there may or may not be a new operator on board who might want to have some input into that process and provide some additional recommendations to the council at that time. So so those are some things that, you know, we certainly are prepared to do this in steps at the council's behest and at your direction. So with that, Mr. Mayor, members of council, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs and Kevin. We appreciate your presentations. Procedurally, I'd just like to check in with Mr. Cohen. So this is a continuation, Mr. Cohen, from November 6th. There was a motion that I made. It was seconded. It's still open. Is that correct?
Correct.
Based on the presentation by the staff, I would like to make an amendment to my motion.
If you could just give
I'm sorry, point of order. Can the existing motion be read so we're all clear on what that is? Because I've heard different variations of what the current motion that's on the floor is.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I believe Mr. Standish was just handed the verbatim motion that was seconded at the last meeting, so if you would like.
Please.
Vice Mayor Barrett. He'll read it.
So from the last council meeting, there was a motion made by Mayor Winfield with a second from Vice Mayor Barrett that all golf course repairs and improvements will be funded on a pay-as-you-go basis from the Community Center Fund. Once a new operator is in place, the investment sequence will be as follows. Conquistador course irrigation repairs, followed by Kenyatta course irrigation and repairs, followed by golf clubhouse restaurant improvements. Manage Overlook restaurant operation to only support golf. Reduce hours and labor costs to provide food service consistent with a municipal golf course. Hours are typically 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., menu offering breakfast, so forth. Issue an RFP for an outside vendor to operate the reduced golf food service. Retain $100,000 minimum in community center fund for a reserve. maintain the Community Center Fund to monitor golf operating losses and tax subsidy.
So I move to amend my motion. I don't have to move. I can amend the motion. I can amend my motion. Okay.
So you have an option, and I'm not sure where we're going here, but you certainly can make a, you can ask that your motion be amended, and then Councilmember Baer would.
I would like.
Or you can withdraw it and start over.
I'd like to amend the motion, or withdraw and start over. Either. I'll withdraw and start over.
Okay. So let me. I'm tracking the rules here.
It's one of those.
So you're asking to withdraw your prior motion. Vice Mayor Barrett, do you agree to that withdrawal?
Okay.
And I'm asking you that because the rule says the motion may be withdrawn only in the event that the council member who seconded the motion agrees to withdraw the motion.
Okay.
So if you'll agree, then the mayor is then going to essentially make a second motion or a replacement motion, which can be seconded or not, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I agree.
Okay.
Okay. So I move all golf course repairs and improvements will be funded on a pay-as-you-go basis from the Community Center Fund. No bonding will be undertaken for Community Center improvements. Once the selected course operator is in place, the investment sequence will be as follows. 1. Conquistador course irrigation and repairs completed in 2021. 2. Kenyatta course irrigation and repairs completed in 2022. 3. Golf clubhouse restaurant improvements scheduled for 2023. Staff will develop an RFP for competitive bids to operate the two town courses and review with council. Town staff will issue an RFP for irrigation design and construction for both the Conquistador and Kenyatta courses. The town will manage the Overlook restaurant operation to support golf and reduce current losses. Food service hours and menu offerings are to be consistent with the needs of a municipal golf course. Oro Valley will retain a $100,000 minimum reserve in the Community Center Fund.
Second.
So I'd like to just begin this conversation, and so similar to November 6th, I'd like to give opportunity to each of the council to discuss this motion and the topic of number two. I'm going to begin that with this statement. Since the golf courses were purchased by the prior administration, this issue has been a divisive issue for our community. After months of analysis and public input, the council decided October 2nd, 2019, to keep the golf courses. Our commitment to reduce the millions of dollars the town spends on golf has been challenging but needed. In my State of the Town address, I said the following, quote, after attending the groundbreaking, and that was in reference to the Oro Valley Innovation Lab, I realized that the same community spirit and participation by all stakeholders could make 36 holes of golf succeed. I believe the HOA stepping forward to make a financial contribution are an example of one type of stakeholder participation. We are also pursuing other partnership opportunities to either reduce costs or increase revenues of the golf courses. The town has a half-cent sales tax dedicated to the Community Center Fund, which generates around $2.5 million per year and can provide the funding for improvements for golf and other needs if we employ patience and focus our energies on increasing revenue and reducing costs, such as Christy has done on the Community Center side. Key to making 36 holes of golf succeed is improved operational and financial performance. I believe we can attain the projections presented by Ms. Jacobs if we work together to increase outside rounds of play, memberships, especially corporate memberships and tournaments. To help make this a reality, the town, Troon, And I believe Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce are working together to improve promotion of the golf courses with the ultimate aim of increasing revenue growth. With this motion, we address the irrigation needs of both courses to be completed by 2022 without borrowing funds or bonding. We reaffirm our commitment to follow the town's procurement process to competitively seek bids to operate and manage the town's two golf courses for what will likely be a five-year contract through 2025, extinguishing concerns about uncertainty. In addition, as part of the Parks and Recreation Needs Assessments, which Ms. Jacobs spoke of, we will work to complete a community center master plan, something we lack at the moment, by December 2020, which will help inform future community center improvements and funding strategies that have the residents' support. My plea this evening to each of us is to end the divisiveness on the issue of golf. Yes, hold us accountable for the projected revenues and expenses. Thank you for what you're doing to grow and enjoy the game of golf. Working together, I believe we can make 36 holes of golf in Oro Valley a success story. Thank you. So I believe Councilmember Pena had,
I'm not ready yet. So if Steve would like to, Councilmember Solomon would like to go, that's great.
Well, first, I'm sorry, I don't have a prepared, typed out statement. I wasn't aware of this motion beforehand. Usually we discuss these things in open meetings, analyze it based on professional input, and come to some agreement. But Mr. Mayor, I'd like to inform you the golf course has been doing amazing the last several years. This is not a new revelation. Town staff has worked diligently over the last several years, and if you look at the trends, our income has increased and our expenses have decreased. There's never been a crisis on the golf course, and we talk about it being a divisive issue. The divisiveness came from false numbers that were circulated around the community. As short as several months ago, you kept stating there was a second set of numbers, which was false. There was never a second set of numbers. The town staff's audited numbers were proven to be right all along. The claims of the Budget and Finance Committee supposedly having a second set of numbers was proven to be false and withdrawn by the person on that committee. So the divisiveness is because of the false numbers and the lack of counting the income that's been propagated since the purchase of the golf course by several former members of the council, and unfortunately now it seems to be, was the case of several current members of the council. So let's get that straight. Neighbors are not having fistfights in the street over the golf course. The uncertainty has been created by several individuals in the community putting forth false, inaccurate numbers. The accurate numbers have been in the town budget, audited on a town website since the beginning. And there's no disputing the golf course has been doing very well, and all the numbers showed that it was successful. I'm glad that you finally came to that realization that the 36 holes were successful. That's an accomplishment. I've got a couple of questions here. First, it was pointed out last meeting that every year that we delay the improvements, we're losing $105,000 in wasted water, and we have a 6% construction inflation, and based on the numbers we're looking at just for the golf course, not the community center, but if we add in the community center, we're looking at about $6 million. So 6% of $6 million is $360,000, correct? So $360,000 on construction inflation plus $105,000 or so on water. So over $450,000 a year for us delaying and for us not making a decision. Now, my understanding was I thought there had already been a preliminary assessment of the repairs needed on the two golf courses done by our golf management company, Troon. Is that, I guess I'll ask the town manager, is that correct? Were they in the process of that?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, yes, they have done a preliminary assessment, which is where the the estimates came from their knowledge of the number of breaks, and of course having been out there for a number of years, so they're more familiar with the system. So yes, sir.
Using that, then, would seem that we should be able to get our ducks in a row, have it designed, and have a bid out so we can start in May or June of 2020. We're not starting from scratch on this. So in order to save over $450,000 a year, I make a motion to amend. Well, actually, I can't because there's a lot of other items in there that I want to change. But I would say that what we'll want to do is start earlier. A couple of other things on this motion here is I'm curious as how, Mr. Mayor, how you already decided as to which irrigation system and which repairs should be completed in which order. Have you done a detailed analysis on the irrigation system and the golf course repairs that we're not aware of to make you choose which one happens first? Normally we hear reports from consultants and experts who say this is where your water loss is. This is where it makes more sense to improve. So how have you come to that conclusion?
From the staff reports, Councilmember Solomon, we own the property of the El Conquistador courses. It makes sense to me to invest in the property that we own.
Well, actually, we own all the property. We do lease back. We have an unconditional lease on the other courses. So it would seem to me that it would make sense that once we have the analysis done, that the council's job is not to dictate which course should be done first and which one should be done second. My other issue is, once again, where is this expertise? Where has been the staff reports to say we should change the entire nature of the restaurant? Where have you gotten – how did you come up with this conclusion? I didn't hear this in any open meetings. Did you meet with a friend behind closed doors? I'm confused.
You know, municipal golf courses such as the Crooked Tree and Randolph Park operate food services.
So you've made this decision on your own.
I'm making this motion, Councilmember Solomon. I respect the fact that you may not agree with it.
No, because that's not how business is conducted in towns. It's conducted in open meetings, not by one individual's own opinion at what they think is best. It's what's best for the community. That's why we have staff. That's why we have expert consultants to determine what's the best use of the restaurant. I don't think it's appropriate for one individual to go and say, well, I looked at a couple and I know this is best for the community, when there's been no public input, no conversation, and this has been a hotly contested issue for the last 2 years regarding the nature of the restaurant. And this is something that the consultants had looked at and something that's supposed to be looked at in the future. And I just don't see how. I guess at this point I'll make an amendment to the motion. I move that we proceed with the finalized design of the golf course irrigation and improvements in a timely manner in order to have a contract issued and ready to begin by June of 2020, saving the town over $450,000 a year, that the reference to the operation of the restaurant be struck until further analysis by the experts and public input, and that all improvements be completed no later than the end of 2021 regarding the golf courses, and that we bond for the clubhouse we bond for the community center as opposed to waiting till 5 to 7 years for its completion.
I'm going to ask that this is a business meeting of the council. Please, if you would just hold your applause or cheers or thank you.
So we got that motion.
We were unable to get
all that. The basic points is that we begin improvements by June or July of 2020,
prescribed
that all improvements are completed on the golf course by the end of 2021.
I'm so sorry, Councilmember Solomon. Mr. Standish was a bit delayed in the first part, so I'm really sorry.
Let's get the first part.
If we don't, I know it's tedious, and I apologize.
No, that's fine.
But if we don't track it exactly, bad things will happen. Okay. So if you could start over for us, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Sorry to be the lawyer that does that, but it'll help in the long run. Thank you.
Do you have the first part?
I just want to make sure.
Let's start over
brand new.
Okay. Sure. That we begin the improvements on the golf course and irrigation the summer of 2020. We complete all the golf course irrigation and improvements by the end of 2021. We remove the statements regarding the Overlook restaurant from this motion and revisit that upon analysis by staff and consultants. And that we bond for the community center improvements to begin those by the end of 2020.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to make sure that we understand the motion that's on the floor and what of the mayor's motion is still there, or is this a replacement for everything? And I'm a little confused on that.
Also, Mr. Cohen, at what point is there a second that's needed for this motion?
So let me take the second question first. And we kind of went through this last time. So when there's a motion to amend, which we have right now, if there's a second, which can be made at any time, if we have a second, then I had made a determination last meeting that based on the Town of Over Valley rules, we couldn't debate the motion to amend, and we had to take a vote right then and there. Since the last meeting, I've determined that there's essentially a discrepancy, in my opinion, between the town rules and the Roberts rules on that issue, and I decided to that it makes more sense to go with the Roberts rules that does allow for the debate of a motion to amend. So if we have a second on the motion to amend, we can then debate only the motion to amend. And then at some point when that debate is over, we can take a vote on the motion to amend. And if that's passed, that then is the motion on the table that would need to be subsequently discussed and subsequently passed or amended further. So I hope that makes some sense, but that's sort of how this works, and if that didn't make any sense, I'm happy to repeat that. That makes sense?
My question, though, Mr. Mayor, still stands. Okay. I'd like to know, before we think about seconding something, let's make sure what the motion is. What of the mayor's motion remains, if anything? And, what Councilmember Solomon's motion is. So what are we ending up with here?
Yeah, it's difficult on the fly to synthesize it. Either we can take a little break and try to do that, or perhaps Councilman Solomon can help us.
Well, right. Effectively, what it's doing is it's replacing the items, several items on here. One is it's replacing when we start the work on the golf courses. It replaces when we end the work on the golf courses. So we're going to start in 2020. We're going to end in complete them all by 2021. It does not specify what order they will be done in. It states that we're going to bond for the community center and have that completed or have that started by the end of 2020 as opposed to waiting. Well, this is somewhat silent on that. And it says that we're going to remove the language regarding the Overlook restaurant and instead wait for a staff and consultants report and public input to determine how the restaurant will be operated.
Councilmember Rodman, would you like the clerk, Mr. Standish, to read it back? It is challenging.
Well, we need to have it, whether it's now or later. I think I understand what Councilmember Solomon said.
Can I,
Councilmember Pena,
clarify something? So on the item, just to make sure I heard this correctly, the third item from Mayor Winfield's motion says golf clubhouse / restaurant improvement scheduled for 2023. Councilmember Solomon, you're taking out the verbiage that addresses the Overlook. So did you say to take out item number three because, or change item number three to be done in 2020?
Yes.
So can we please clean that piece up? Because it's contradictory.
Okay, I'll change that to golf clubhouse and restaurant.
Okay, so down here where you took out the verbiage for the Overlook restaurant, you said staff and consultants to complete it by 2020. So are you saying number three needs to go away or it gets completed by 2020?
No, what I'm saying is we will start the work by the end of 2020.
Okay.
So I'm really sorry to interject. I apologize. I don't like to interject in your meeting, but typically the way this is done, and we don't have to do it this way, typically when we have a motions to amend, you do it by specifically striking out words in a pending motion and identifying that for us, or adding certain words in a particular place and identifying that for the clerk, or number three, replacing an entire sentence or paragraph with a replacement sentence or paragraph, or lastly, like we had last time, there's an entirely, the motion to amend is essentially an entirely different motion. So I only point that out as a thought for you all to try to help the clerk match the written motion from the mayor that we have versus what was just told to us, because we're struggling, but we'll get through it.
Councilmember Rodman.
Yeah, it would seem to me that the easiest thing, and this is just a suggestion, you're the one with the motion, is that your motion should be to strike the mayor's everything in the mayor's motion and then make you, as the amendment, make yours. Then we have to figure out we're changing this word to this word to this sentence.
To help in that regard, you may want to state that you withdraw your prior motion and instead you're making a motion to amend by substituting in place of the mayor's motion the following motion.
Right.
That might
be
helpful.
Okay. I will remove my First Amendment. I will make an amendment to replace the mayor's motion. This amendment would be to begin the initial golf course and irrigation repairs the summer of 2020. To complete those repairs by the end of 2021. To bond for the community center improvements and begin those by the end of 2020, and to have town staff and, if necessary, consultants report back to the council on the different options for the restaurant and have public input on those options before a decision is made.
Member Rodman.
The question again, I know it's not been seconded yet. I'm trying to, do you want to have something in your motion about the funding for these things? Obviously, the mayor's motion was pay as you go. I don't know what you wanted, but you might want to talk about that.
Well, I don't know if it's necessary. It seems like the funds are there, or that's...
I guess my point is, if that's what you think, then say paid for, you know, by
okay,
you know, by the funds out of the community center fund.
I would say then we would pay for the golf and irrigation improvements through the community center fund, and if necessary, through a loan from the general fund savings in excess of the 25% requirement, which right now is about six. We have an about extra $6 million. And that would be paid back through the community center fund over the next several years.
I'll second that motion.
Discussion?
Go ahead.
Council member or Vice Mayor Barrett?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Just so we're clear now, the discussion is limited to the motion to amend. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And if anybody, and I probably should just be quiet, but if anybody wants it read back so we know what we're talking about with specificity, the clerk is happy. Maybe he's not so happy, but he'll do it. He'll
Mr.
do
Mayor,
it.
Mr. Mayor, I would definitely like to have that motion read back, the amended motion.
All right, Councilmember Jones Ivey, we'll have it read back.
And just if it's helpful, I think there's five provisions is what I have. So if it's helpful, provision one, stated two, stated three, et cetera. Okay.
Thank you. So we have a motion from Councilmember Solomon with a second from Councilmember Rodman to begin the improvements on the golf and irrigation by the summer of 2020. Complete all golf course improvements by 2021.
By the end of 2021.
Exactly. And then bond for the community center improvements and golf clubhouse, and to begin those improvements by the end of 2020. And then have the town staff and consultants report back regarding the options on the restaurant. And also additionally have public input in that process before a decision is made. And then the pay for golf and irrigation through the community center fund, and any excess would be used out of the general fund that is over the 25% policy, with that any excess to be paid back from the community center fund at a later date.
Yes.
Councilmember Jones Ivey, was that clear?
That's clear. Appreciate it.
Yep. So we Vice Mayor Barrett followed by Councilmember Pena.
Okay. May I ask some questions of staff? Is that procedurally allowed here? Okay, thank you. So after we just heard Councilmember Solomon, you know, say how we need staff and consultants and things like that, then an amendment was made which says that we'll be doing the irrigations in 2020 and 2021, which the staff just presented to us would give them a really short time frame for turning around and making sure that those are done in a quality way. So what would be... I mean, is this motion even possible to implement in terms of that timeline? And if so, what would that entail?
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, I would say that probably the only way that it would be workable to get it completed this summer is if we were able to partner with Troon to have them do some of the evaluation, tap into their resources, And again, I'd have to really look at that because we might be in a position, depending on the content of our contract with them, to essentially allow them to do work that we would reimburse them for, that they would bill us for, and that could potentially be the design process. But again, in speaking with Rob DeMore from Troon, I think he also believes that it is a short timetable. We would definitely have to do the bidding, the construction bidding ourselves. That's something that we would have to do. Is it possible we could find a contractor who would be able to do the design of the irrigation system? It's possible. We might have to pay a premium for it if we needed it done in a really, really short time. And it's probably likely that we would only be able to get one of the courses designed and not have them both designed together, which was our original thinking. So it's not completely out of the ordinary. So if a decision were made tonight in that regard, we would turn the wheels and do absolutely everything that we possibly could to try to make it happen. We'd put it at the top of the list and get going on it. We don't have a current chief procurement officer working with Tucson, so we're just kind of a little behind, which is another reason why we recommended pushing this out 1 year to give us some time. But we certainly would do our level best to follow the direction of council.
Okay, thank you. So I mean, I think that's one disadvantage that we could see is that it would be difficult for us to be able to do it at that turnaround time frame, and then we would be locked into certain operators and things without having the advantage of being able to do as much competitive RFP in terms of the design, the construction, etc., and whatever cost savings we'd be able to get there by going to market to make this work. And then my other question on the timeline is kind of related to the Parks and Recreation Needs Assessment. I was at the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board last night, and we had a really good presentation by the consultant who's been selected to perform our Parks and Recreation Needs Assessment. And I'm excited about it. I think that it will generate a lot of positive things for our community and help really give the community a voice and input on what the priorities should be moving forward, including everyone here. There's going to be focus groups, there's going to be statistically valid surveys, things are going to be done through mapping, through demographics, to really, kind of pinpoint what are the needs of our community in terms of parks and recreation. And so when we talk about town staff and consultants' recommendations on, and then the public input regarding operation of the restaurant, and yet we put a deadline on it saying that it will begin by the end of 2020, based on what I was hearing last night about the timeline for these sort of needs assessments and master planning process to move forward, it feels to me like the end of 2020 would be very soon to be able to really get that all the way looked at. So, Christy, when is the Parks and Rec needs assessment based on what their current timeline is? When will we be getting that information? I know it will be coming in stages and things like that, but when will the consultant bring that back to us?
Thank you. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. The preliminary data collection should be presented in April or May. And then at that point, the next phase looks at financial analysis, prioritization, and then also the master planning component of all of the parks, and also to include the community center. That being said, if the direction is to accelerate the community center conceptual design, we can certainly work with the consultant and let them know to prioritize that project first.
Okay. So with this motion, it would sort of prioritize the restaurant construction and design and that portion of the community center above the other parks and recreations in the community, like Naranja, Riverfront, James Creek, excuse me.
There, in the, please, thank you.
In the presentation, there were five different parks, I think. Steam Pump Ranch, the community center, Naranja Park, James Creek Park, and Riverfront Park that we're going to be looking at in terms of developing a master plan through this public outreach process and working with this consultant. So anyway, I guess that's part of my concern is I think that what we should do is we should look at all of those parks and recreation needs together. And we should, you know, develop that master plan for the community center and really identify what the community's priorities are there. And then we can move forward with the funding for that, depending on, you know, what that comes back with and what the community's priorities are in terms of funding all of those parks and recreation needs. So, and I don't think it's any surprise that that would be my position, but I just wanted to point out a couple of concerns that I have with the motion to amend as it currently stands. Thank you.
Councilmember.
Mr. Mayor.
Just 1 minute, Councilmember Jones-Ivy. I have in line Councilmember Pena, followed by Councilmember Rodman, and then I would be happy to give you.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to address a few items that was going back and forth, but this is specifically to the amended and why we do possibly are going to do what we're going to do. Addressing the two courses being completed at the same time, one thing about the Kenyatta course, there's discussion that we own the El Conquistador course, so that's a reason why we should do it. While that is true, we've made the decision to move forward with 36 holes. So what that tells me is that we have to get those done. And Ms. Jacobs, you've mentioned before that to meet the projections and assumptions, we need to get the irrigation completed, correct?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember, we do have built into our projections with the recommendation the water savings components. And so if there was a change in terms of implementation schedule, we would want to go back and possibly make some changes. We also, plan on improvements to the course as part of our overall, conditions and looking at marketing. And it's possible that, that the revenues could be impacted. But so far we are, we're doing well and in our membership recruitment. And I'm hopeful that a brief delay would not have a significant effect on our total fund balance in terms of revenues and expenditures.
Okay, thank you. So from last time, the last proposal that was put forth from staff till this time, now we're going to delay it another year. Why wasn't that discussed at the last? I guess my question would be why that wasn't brought forth from the last proposal that was made. And we're pushing it out a year now because we recognize that we've got these issues with the operator and whatnot. If we're going to push it out a year, how does that change the fact that we're paying $105,000 for the water, plus in the previous summary of options, we looked at inflationary cost, which was built in as well. So how do those go away in 1 year? And then when we're saying we're going to pay it, we may not be able to do it because we may have to pay a premium. So we're actually paying more in water. We actually have inflationary costs, but we're saying we're going to pay a premium if we do it sooner. So wouldn't those kind of, wash each other out or make sense? And then the other thing I wanted to mention is we're talking about Troon, and so just scope of work, if they are able to save us money, they've already done some work, and they're willing to do some more work for us, and that's a cost. To me, a lot of that work is already done. So the scope of work would save money in and of itself because of familiarity and some of the work that's already been done. So to me, I think, and I get it that maybe we should rush this or we shouldn't rush this, but it appears to me that we're planning on doing something anyways. And so some of those cost savings and whatnot should really be factored in.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, we did, no question, you are right that there are some potential cost savings if we were, for example, Troon has an in-house golf course architect. So we wouldn't have to, we wouldn't have to hire an architect, and we would be able to take advantage of their services, and that's part of their management fee, is inclusion of those services. So, yes, is it possible that the maybe what would be an additional cost for the, and again, possibly a premium. I don't know. It depends on how hungry they are and whether or not there's an irrigation designer that would be available at this point. So it's possible that absolutely could be a wash. As I mentioned earlier, when we put our original recommendations together, we were looking at a 7-month lead time, and we've shrunk that now by 2 full months. And when you're a public entity, that makes a big difference because we have procurement issues that we have to follow. When you're a private entity, that's something that you can move a little faster than we can at the government level. So as I said, we would work very hard if that were the direction of council to get this accomplished.
Well, it would just seem to me that we are concerned about it. That's been a lot of the issue, or the discussion around this issue, is the cost of money as time goes on. And so that's why I'm saying, okay, time is money. And so on one hand, we're saying it's going to cost us this amount, but over here we're going to delay it. So which is it? And then speaking of the community center, I think there's a priority there. It's been brought to my attention that there was an issue that our public works department got involved in with an issue in the entrance. There's an issue with a beam, and I don't know if that's a structural issue, but that building has a tremendous amount of deferred maintenance. And now that this has come up and it's been brought to my attention, the question was, what are we doing with the community center? Because is this going to pose a risk to the town if something happens with the building or somebody gets hurt or whatever? So I just like Mr. Kiesler, our public works director, to fill us in on that, because I do have some concerns about it now. And what's going on with that?
If I may, Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Pena, you may recall a couple of months ago in one of my mid-month highlights, I mentioned that we were hiring a structural engineer because of a beam that was clearly a problem. And so I'll let Mr. Kiesler describe what our structural engineer, what their evaluation said, and what we're doing at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena. What we have is on the porte cochere, one of the beams is crushing at its connection to the column. So it's about a 36-inch glue lamb beam, which is a big wood beam, about 36 inches tall, about 8 inches wide. It's rotting, so the connection where it goes into the north column is starting to crush. So we hired a structural engineer to go out and take a look at it. The structural engineer gave us a couple options, said, well, if you're going to do something with this porte cochere, right, tear it down, you can probably wait a couple months. If you're not going to do anything, there's a short-term fix, and then there's a longer-term fix. The short-term fix is you have to shore it up, which since we've had some, we don't have direction yet on what we're doing with the community center, we went out there and put a screw jack in. So it's essentially a steel column with a screw at the top. We've bolted it to the beam. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing of solutions, but at least it's going to hold it for a little while. We're going to keep our eye on it. I'd give it maybe a year tops that they'll be able to hold it. If we're going to be waiting for more than a year to do the community center improvements, then my next suggestion, which is the longer term solution, is to actually replace the beam. That's not going to be simple nor cheap.
Okay, so now we know that we've got a major repair we've got to look at. We have other repairs. We know the cost of construction is high right now, and the cost of money, and we've discussed this at previous council meetings, where our inflation rate is very low, our interest rates are low. So why would we not make a decision to fix these issues at the community center in a large scope to save money. And what you're saying right now, Mr. Kiesler, makes sense. Are we going to just patchwork it and it's going to cost more money? Like pay-as-you-go ends up costing more money in the long run versus taking the funds and fixing what we know needs to be fixed, no different than doing the 36 holes of irrigation. Whether it was going to be golf or parks or whatever, we knew it needed to be fixed. So I appreciate the conversation and updating us on that. I think it speaks to why we need to do these repairs and this amended motion that's been put forward makes sense for us to just get it done and let our community enjoy that asset quicker and save money in the meantime because we're not piecemealing as we go along based on what the cost of construction is. So thank you.
Councilmember Rodman.
You mentioned, Mary, when we talked earlier this week, I think it was, you were indicating that Troon had offered, at least at some level, to within its current contract, to do the design work on the golf courses, which I assume would be the turf reduction. What turf reduction should happen, the tees, the bunkers, et cetera, all those things that should happen, as well as the replacement of the irrigation system, and where I assume that's all the design work they said they would do without extra charge. Is that accurate?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rodman, what they would do is what a golf course architect would do, not the design of the irrigation system. There would need to be the hiring of a specialist that actually designs that system. So the architect would work with a designer to identify, as you said, what are those areas that we can shave off greens to save on water and in order to keep it a playable field, a playable course and that sort of thing. So that is the services that Troon offered and had previously offered in our conversations over the past 18 months to include that as part of, that they consider as part of their management fee.
So the 1.8 or 2.1, depending on which one you're talking about first, that does that include that design work? When we first got that estimate 2 years ago, or whenever it was that also including money for the design that now Troon said they'll do?
Yes. So that estimate always included the cost for an external irrigation system designer, but the golf course architect was always included.
So if Troon did it, that actually could go down, that number?
No, we had included that in our cost estimates. It was not a line item as far as an additional cost for our estimates. So if we hire a golf course designer or architect, it could cost us a little more money to have the course evaluated. Sorry, let me clarify.
If $1.9 million was to go from 0 to 60 on getting the irrigation replaced and the turf reduction and the tees and the bunkers and the design to do that, why isn't it less if somebody else is doing the design for free?
Our original estimate did include the expectation that a golf course architect would be part of the services provided of a golf course management company.
So that was already saying that you thought Troon was going to do it. So the 1.8 or 9, whatever it was, did not include the design work of the course.
It did include the design work. It included it at a zero cost. As part of...
Okay, thank you. That's good. All right, because that certainly wasn't clear to me. Councilmember Pena talked about the savings in the water, and I think that's important for us to look at is how soon we can do this. 2 weeks ago, we were saying we could do it, and in 2 weeks, we've gone to waiting another year. It hasn't been, months. It has been 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we said we could do it. It would be pushed, no question. You would need a decision. Here we are. To try to make one, So I'm not exactly sure why, other than when you and I talked, it was about the fact that there were council members who felt strongly about not borrowing any money from anybody, including ourselves. And so this made that more doable if you put it off to the following year, because we could, in fact, accumulate another year's worth of money without having to spend it. I get that. I mean, I understand that, but that, you know, that isn't about whether we could do it. It's about whether or not it was we could get four votes on it. And so, you know, I think what I'm looking at here, when you put the money that it's going to cost us to wait and leaving it up in the air all this time, again, after all this time, when we can, in fact, move forward with it, I'd like to see us put the community center involved in it as well. I don't think that was part of Councilmember Solomon's motion, but I just think that there's a real reason to get at this, get it done, get the decision made, and get the spade in the ground as soon as we can, so that we can start saving the money that we know we will save once we get it, and the increase in the revenue that we will get. Both of those things don't happen until we actually get it done. So we may save from not spending the money to redo the golf courses, but we don't get the revenue and we don't get the expense savings till we do it either. So, I mean, I don't understand. Excuse me one second.
It did include the community center.
Yours did? Okay, I'm sorry. I lost track of that. So my point is that I think there's a financial reason to do it sooner, and I can't imagine that 2 weeks has made the difference that we now have to put it off a year. Thank you.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My concern is we bought a golf course that was, 25 years old? Now it's 30 years old. And I think we need to be really smart about how we do the repairs that are to be done. We don't have deep pockets as a town. We have other expenses. The thing that just booms large in my mind is our police pension fund. And while we're talking about $1 million here, $2 million there for the Golf Course Community Center, we're talking about a $23 million deficit that needs to be paid. And I think we need to prioritize our expenditures. And I don't hear anybody being concerned about that. We can't afford to do everything. Yes. Does the golf course need repairs? It certainly does. But we have other financial issues that we cannot ignore.
Is that it, Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
Yes, right now.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Solomon.
All right, a few things. Vice Mayor Barrett mentioned a few of her concerns. One was the time for the Parks and Rec needs assessment and that it had to be completed. Yet in this budget cycle, Vice Mayor Barrett insisted and this council approved close to a $2 million playground for on our town site prior to the Park and Rec's need assessment, even though I pointed out many times that it should wait until we had the need assessment. So apparently for her playground, it's okay to do prior to the need assessments, but for the community center, it's not. So it has to be one or the other. You can't in one case say you don't want the assessment and in the other case say you insist on the assessment. Also paying a premium, we're talking $450,000 a year. The premium would be less than 10% of that if we even had to pay it. And as mentioned, Troon is already on board with part of the design. And with that given to the irrigation folks, once again, I don't see a great difficulty in getting it done. After all, remember, based on the mayor and vice mayor's second, they were doing a linear park study instantly in the beginning of September to convert the courses to a linear park, and there was no concerns about the fact that that couldn't be done in 60 to 90 days, but now there's a concern that we can't do this within 6 months. So once again, some more inconsistencies. Also, we have the preliminary plan for the community center from 2 years ago that went through public input and can once again go through another round, which was, I think, fairly well agreed to, a pretty good plan. So we're not starting out from scratch. A lot of the work has been done. As far as what Councilmember Ivy Jones said regarding the police retirement system is there is no crisis here or money that has to be paid immediately. We are paying $3 million a year in our current budget to fund our police retirement system. The, quote, shortfall that we and almost every other community has due to changes in state law, Supreme Court rulings, and the downturn in the market in the mid-2000s is about $23 to $24 million. And we're paying $2 million a year on that, and we're giving up to 20 years or longer to pay that off. Well, if we're paying $2 million a year, within just 15 years, we'll be more than paying off that unfunded, quote, liability. So there's no crisis there. That plan has been in place for years. It's in our budget. It's not some elephant in the room. Everyone's known about it for years, and it's been addressed in excess of what the state requires it to be addressed in. As far as other needs in the town, well, the community centers and golf courses are a fairly big need. You can't even find parking there anymore. I was there the last several days, and people were parked all along the curbs out to the entrance. That's how heavily it's being used. We know we have ADA issues with the community center. We've been told in the past those need to be done. Now we're saying let's wait 5 years before we even talk about it. Those have to be addressed. The community center and golf course is used by thousands and thousands of people every month. Our finances are in very good shape. Our savings account is close to $19 million. By our own decree, we want 25% of our operating cost as, quote, a savings account. That's $13 million. There's an extra $6 million sitting in our savings account. The amount of income coming into the community center from revenues and from the half-cent sales tax can more than adequately fund all the improvements. We could always go the course of bonding for it, but it's cheaper to borrow it temporarily from the general fund because you avoid the interest and you avoid the bond fees. And on top of all this, we save $450,000 a year, and a part of that is a large amount of wasted water. So there really is no main obstacle to this. I have a lot of faith in staff. Considering the preliminary work done already, I don't think this timeline is at least bit unrealistic. And the benefit of saving this town $450,000 a year is think what that money can be used for. We talk about other needs.
Mr. Mayor.
So.
Vice Mayor Barrett, followed by Councilmember Nicholson.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, and then, Joyce, I've got Vice Mayor Barrett speaking, followed by Councilmember Nicholson, followed by you.
Okay.
I just wanted to address a couple of the things that Councilmember Solomon has stated about the playground. First of all, I wanted to ask the staff to confirm, what is the price in the budget for the actual playground? For Naranja Park.
Vice Mayor Barrett, right now the preliminary estimates are about $600,000, $500,000 for the playground itself. The majority of the project has to do with infrastructure.
Okay, so it's not a $2 million playground. It's a $500,000.
Unless you want to give me more money, that'd be awesome.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that because that continually gets stated. And even the total project with infrastructure doesn't come to $2 million. Is that correct?
Vice Mayor Barrett, that the scope of the project, we do not anticipate it being $2 million. I believe we anticipated, correct me if I'm wrong, Wendy, about $1.5 million, $1.6 million.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, the...
Please, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
The total budget for the Naranja Playground over the course of two fiscal years is $1.2 million, and then the infrastructure for Naranja Park is $525,000.
Okay, but that's over two fiscal years and paid for with park impact fees partially and
correct.
Things like that. Okay, I just wanted to clarify some of that because we continually hear that we have this, you know, these huge numbers being said, and I wanted to clarify that it's, you know, the playground itself is not at that rate. And then a lot of it is parking. Councilmember Solomon mentioned parking at the community center. I know that's a concern. It's also a concern at Naranja Park, where people regularly park in the dirt and there's dust problems, and we don't even have adequate parking for the fields that currently exist. So I just wanted to clarify that. I've tried to ignore it, but it gets brought up time and time again. And then in terms of the cost of money and the savings as time goes on, one of the things about investments in money is that every investment that you make financially is an opportunity cost of where else you could be making that investment. And so you always have to compare not just what interest could I be making on this loan or what profit can I be making here, but compare that to where else could I invest my money? What other types of benefits and risks and rewards could I take? And so that's one of the concerns with borrowing money from the general fund or even through bonding, is that that takes away from money that could also be put towards other needs in the community. We've got several needs to our facilities here at the town center. We know that there are needs that will be coming up through these parks and recreation studies, et cetera. And those also deal with construction costs. So those costs are subject to the same, you know, sort of inflationary costs as anything else. So in a comparative way, it's hard to just look at it and say, you know, this is the exact amount. And then our police pension, as Councilmember Jones Ivey mentioned, has been growing at well above that rate of inflation of those other projects. And the statutory minimum that we've been putting into it for many years has been inadequate to keep us from falling behind in our funding levels. And we aren't alone. We aren't the only community facing that problem. At the League of Cities and Towns, there were several breakout sessions about the police pension. There's many communities that are concerned about it, that are trying to tackle it, that are trying to figure out how in the world they're going to be able to fund these growing liabilities. And they're largely growing because the pension fund hasn't returned the results that had been predicted, and yet cities and towns are still liable to pay the full pension. And that's something that we want to do. We want to be able to pay the full pension for our police officers. And so looking at that, you know, the inflationary cost of that moving forward, you know, those are the kind of things that we always have to weigh and take into account as we make these capital choices. And then I find the water argument interesting, because when we were discussing, you know, whether how we could make the golf courses work and fit and whether or not any should be repurposed or anything, at that point it was, we can't reduce the water at all, because then our water utility will suffer from lower costs. And now it's saying, okay, now we need to reduce the water because now our water bill will be lower. So, I mean, I think it just kind of comes down at this point that, you know, we've had a lot of discussion about this. We've had a lot of open meetings. And so that, I mean, that kind of concludes my comments on this motion. And then I'd also like to request that when we call the question as soon as possible, I know there's a few more council members who'd like to speak. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah.
Councilmember Nicholson, followed by Councilmember Jones Ivey, followed by Councilmember Rodman.
Okay. I want to speak about the general fund. See, you were talking about possibly borrowing from the general fund, and Melanie touched on the PSPRS. Now it's unfunded, $23 million. That we also have was about $18 million, and we're at 44% funding. If we did 25%, we could use $8 million of those dollars, and we could also use that also for the police pension. If we used $8 million of our general fund towards the police pension and then bond the other $10 million, which would cost us at 2% a year, a very small amount, I think we could save about $1.5 million every single year. And these projections right here, 2021, 2022, we still don't have everything completed. But if we were to save $2 million a year on the police pension by using the general fund money and using a bond at 2%, which I know Rhonda has pointed out before, if we did both those together to pay down the police pension, we'd save about $2 million a year. In 2 years, we'd have $4 million saved just by paying down the police pension, and including the $878,000 for 2021 and a little over $2 million in 2021-2022, we would have about $7 million on that year, and we would be able to pay for everything at that very moment. And not only that, but for the police pension, it's just like your mortgage. When you get your mortgage set up, you have a pen or a bond for 20 years, that payment's, let's say, $1 million in your very first year. 20 years later, it's still $1 million. But just with inflation at 3% every single year, our town revenue right now, well, let's say it's $150 million. In 20 years, our town revenue would be $240 million, somewhere around there. So that ratio would be even less and less of our budget every year as it goes on, just like your own mortgage. When you're first young, you have a certain income level, you're making your mortgage, and then by the year 30, your mortgage is down a lot lower. But what I would like to see, instead of using our general fund just to buy the golf course, because another thing, too, that you talk about is 6%. Those are the 6% savings on the construction. That's a projection. The last several years, the economy's doing great. Construction costs keep going up and up. But just like you or I or my parents, when they were doing the remodel on their house, when the economy goes down and construction workers are out of work and they're looking for more work, the prices go down. They don't go down like 6% a year. Usually they drop by quite a significant amount. And I think while we do the RFP process, I think we can figure out what we need to do with irrigation. Maybe they have some better ideas, maybe have a different light. And I think when you do an RFP, not only will you have Troon, but you have several other people competing in and looking at, in different eyes, maybe you come up with better ideas and maybe how to run the irrigation. Maybe you have savings in there. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just the same as what Troon has, but maybe you do have savings in there. And I think in the meantime of that year, then if we do the police pension, we save $1 million on the police pension or up to $2 million a year. In a few years, we could just pay for everything right off the bat.
Councilmember Jones-Ivey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I feel like we need to be very cautious when we talk about borrowing from the general fund, because we have already borrowed a total of $1.5 million from the general fund to have been paid at $120,000, and we have not paid that back. It concerns me about this entity and borrowing money from the general fund and our ability to pay it back, particularly looking at the fact that there's not a lot of revenue coming out of this particular enterprise.
Councilmember Rodman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We are funding the PSPRS. We're funding exactly what they ask us to pay, including the catch-up. We are, in fact, paying every dime that the police officers are owed. We have, well, the future projections, they change every year depending on what the return on the investments are. If we need to pay more, we do, and we have. So this is there's no crisis with PSPRS. If we have extra money, we've decided as a council, it would be one of the two things that we would look at doing with it. One was capital, and the other was a PSPRS. So we've already addressed this, and it keeps coming up as something that we have some crisis, and we need to pay more money there. We don't need to pay more money there when we have other needs. Clearly, we have a desire for golf courses in a community center. I mean, we've done this for 4 years now, and especially in the last year. So to somehow make something that isn't necessary a high priority need like PSPRS is bogus. It simply is a red herring. So I listened to it, but I couldn't not say something about it. I'm curious, Christy or Wendy, can we do the playground that's been proposed without the infrastructure?
Councilmember Rodman, my personal opinion is no.
Thank you. So, again, it's the total cost. To say that we're only really talking about $600,000 for a playground without saying what we also need to do in terms of infrastructure is, again, perhaps not quite as straightforward as we might like it. The only reason that I see to delay any of this, because we will be saving money if we do it sooner, the only reason to delay is to leave it in limbo longer. So the longer it is before we put spades in the ground and actually do something that says we are going to keep 36 holes, that we're convinced that it can pay what we need it to pay, that it can fund itself within the community center fund in a reasonable time period, the only reason to delay is to say, well, maybe we'll give us more time to figure out not to do it. I mean, there is no other reason, absolutely none, because we have the money. To Councilmember Jones-Ivey's comments, we have the money. We have the additional money over the 25%. We went through this 2 weeks ago. We have the money if we needed to borrow everything we needed for the first course from ourselves. We will have more than that $1.9 million. If we bonded the community center, we have more than enough to pay back the bonding costs in 5 years. We have, by the time we do the second golf course in the second year, we will have the money to take it either partially from the community center fund, and if necessary, we will still have projected the contingency fund money from the general fund. We have the money without not doing, that sounds like a double negative, without not doing something we need to do. Are there nice-to-haves? Of course. But I guarantee you this is more than a nice-to-have, the golf courses and the community center. We have a significant portion of our community who feels that it is a need-to-have. They've invested in their homes. They've invested in their lifestyle. They've invested in the people that come into town to play in these golf courses, and certainly the thousands of members for the fitness center. So this is not a nice-to-have. This is a need-to-have, and we can afford it. So we keep coming back to these things that simply don't ring accurately. I think it's time, you know, we can do it. If the majority of the council doesn't want to do it and wants to put it off for a year and a half or two, fine. That's up to them, and in the committee will figure out the reason for it and watch to see if it happens. Thank you.
Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to touch on a couple of items that were discussed. First of all, looking at PSPRS, that, I believe, is 60% paid down. Is that correct?
No.
Ms. Jacobs, or our portion, is that about right, Ms. Gomez, 60%?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, yes, we are at about 60% funded for our share of the liability.
Which, in comparison to a lot of other communities,
we're about in the middle of the pack.
Okay, so we're not at the bottom of the pack. No. We are responsibly paying that liability as we should.
We are paying our full payment, yes, okay. And then some.
And then some, okay. And so some of the other communities, just as a side note, the way they were able to pay theirs down 100% was to enact a tax on their community. The council's not choosing to do that. We're paying. We're being responsible paying as we go. The other comment I want to make is on the water. When we did have those discussions, there was the discussion, if all of you remember, they wanted to close the courses. There was that discussion of closures. Okay, if those closures occurred, we would have an impact to our water utility of about $470-some thousand a year. Okay, that's a big difference from $105,000 a year. Big difference. And then the next thing is the park and the infrastructure conversation. If I recall, when we were going through the budget process, we talked about the playground, and it was my understanding that the infrastructure, since we were already going to do the playground, we might as well do the infrastructure. So now we had a nice packaged, and oh, by the way, if I remember, the conversation was it made sense to do it because the scope of the project being larger saved more money. So, I mean, we can look at scopes of projects over here and save money, but we're not really giving some credibility to looking at another project that we know we need to do the improvements. And oh, by the way, that is a revenue generating function in our budget. So I would say that some of these, I'll agree, you know, we can agree to disagree, but I think as long as we're having these conversations and saying we want to set the record straight, I feel compelled just as much to be able to make a comment on these. And then also getting back to bonding, yes, have I talked about bonding? I've talked about bonding with the community center because I think it makes sense for this asset. We look at the cost of funds today, we look at the cost of construction, and we want to use money wisely. And so we've even had our finance directors, the one prior to Mr. Arts, and now we have Mr. Arts, who've said we have a very low cost of funds that we can do these improvements, and it's not as big of an impact as it could be down the road if we wait. So I just want to make a differentiation that I was not in favor of bonding the PSPRS because we don't need to. we are managing that liability appropriately. So thank you.
Call the question.
Just so we're clear, we're voting on the motion to amend, and if anybody wants it read back, the clerk can do that. But
I would like it read back, please.
I would as well. Thank you, Mr. Rodman. Mr. Standish?
Actually, the amendment on the floor from Councilmember Solomon with a second from Councilmember Rodman is to begin the initial golf and irrigation repairs by the summer of 2020, complete those golf and irrigation repairs by 2021, bond for the community center and golf clubhouse improvements, and begin those improvements by the end of 2020. Receive input from staff, consultants, and the public for the restaurant before a decision is made. And then pay for golf and irrigation through the community center fund, and any excess funds needed would be used from the taken from the general fund in excess of the 25% general fund reserve policy, and then those extras would be paid back to the community center fund at a later date.
Councilmember Solomon, did we get that accurate?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Standish, can we take a roll call vote, please?
Mayor Winfield?
Nay.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
No.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
No.
Councilmember Nicholson?
No.
Councilmember Pena?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodman?
Aye.
Councilmember Solomon?
Yes.
Okay, motion fails.
So we're tracking here. We're now back to the mayor's motion is now on the table, which has been seconded. So that's where we are.
Okay. So the motion, just as this council approved the 36 holes, this motion would complete the golf course irrigation replacement by 2021. Same for the Kenyatta course, 2022. As has been discussed, we're in the midst of a Parks and Recreation needs assessment that will be completed with statistically valid information approximately April of 2020. We're looking to have a master plan for the community center by December 2020. What that will do, is my belief, is help inform us as to, first of all, what the community priorities are in regards to the community center so that we strategically invest those funds where the community believes they should be invested, and they will give us some sense of what the residents prefer in terms of a funding mechanism, which may include bonding. With that, I'll open the floor to discussion.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, and I'm so sorry. Probably a first for me for commenting on a motion, but I feel compelled to point out just two legal issues with the pending motion for your consideration, and then I'll go back to being quiet. And in this particular motion, you all have a typed-up version in front of you.
Right.
And if you turn your eyes to that kind of middle paragraph after the number three where it begins, staff will develop an RFP.
Yes.
At an appropriate time, and it doesn't need to be now, but in that sentence, the word two, where it says staff will develop an RFP for competitive bids to operate the two town courses, at an appropriate time, you may or may not, for some legal and practical reasons that I think you all are aware of, may want to remove that word two at some point, maybe. And then with regards to the last clause where it says two golf courses and review with council, those last four words, and review with council, which is a reference to the council reviewing the actual RFP that the town would come up with, there are some legal issues there that I'm confident that you're familiar with. If you leave that in, there may be some legal issues there, so therefore you may want to consider the removal of those four words at an appropriate time. And with that, I'm sorry to interfere with your discussion.
Councilmember Rodman.
Yeah, just a question, Gary. Why would we want to take the word two out?
The legal reason is because we still, to this day, own three courses. And the practical reason is, to the extent that, be careful with my words here, to the extent that that third course, the resort course, may end up being leased out by HSL, for practical reasons, it may, for you all, make sense to still have the RFP include that third course so that economies of scale can be taken advantage of.
Thank you.
Okay, so Mr. Cohen, just for, so I appreciate your...
I'm glad you do, because I apologize for interfering.
Yeah, you don't need to. It's not interference. You're doing your job. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Just a moment. Help me understand, then, Mr. Cohen, the process for making those changes.
So if you're interested in making those now?
I am.
Okay. So I would suggest that the best way to handle it, because the Roberts rules actually limit the number of times you can try to amend a motion, mm-hmm. and I suspect we may be or may not be talking about that as we continue on here. So probably the best way to do it would be to voluntarily withdraw your motion, have the person that seconded that agree, and then restate this exact same motion minus the words to and review with counsel. And I think that will get us there.
So before
the safest
I do that,
way.
Do you have any other recommendations?
In my role as the lawyer, I do not.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask for a point of clarification?
Yes.
On one of your items here? You have a paragraph, just so we're very clear in this, you have a paragraph that says the town will manage the Overlook restaurant operation to support golf and reduce current losses. It's unclear to me, and perhaps you could clarify, do you mean that town staff will manage the Overlook restaurant, or do you simply mean the town as in... The big town, you know.
The big town.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
So once again, if you're interested in, at this point in making those changes, my suggestion, because it'll free you up for any possible amendments that may or may not occur here, I would do as I suggested and move to withdraw your motion, see if the person that seconded that will accept that, and then restate it minus those words.
So I voluntarily withdraw my motion.
I do not. Mr. Cohen, what is the limit on the number of amendments that can be made on a motion?
Two. I just learned that tonight myself from my Roberts rules here, so two.
So there's already been an attempt to make one motion.
Amendment? Is
that one amendment.
Can we go for a second?
And then if we follow this amendment, then there couldn't be another attempt.
Because the rules suggest that to avoid that problem, running out of amendments, when you withdraw it and restate it, you're starting over. So that's why I'm suggesting we follow that here to give you the maximum possible amendments. In other words, if you withdraw the motion and restate it, you're starting off with a fresh motion. That's the way the rules state. So that's why I'm recommending it.
I would prefer instead to go ahead and go forward and see if there are any other amendments you'd like to add, and then... we can go ahead and incorporate all those amendments at once.
There's no other amendments that I would like to add.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask one more point of clarification?
Yeah.
I believe that it's not on this printed version, so I wanted to make sure that we captured it. You had stated, as I recall, sir, the master plan for the community center would be developed by December 2020. And so if that is we just need to know if that is included in that original motion or if it's not included in the original motion.
It wasn't included in the original motion because my understanding, Ms. Jacobs, is that was in process, that we were doing the needs assessment, that following that needs assessment would be master planning for the community center and other major rec facilities. And so I didn't see a need to include that in this motion.
Thank you, sir. I made a note. I heard you say it, and I just wanted to clarify for our purposes.
Right. So just my understanding is that we're doing a master plan for the community center, that will be completed. We're striving to complete that by December 2020.
Mr. Mayor, correct. It is, and to be very crystal clear, it is a conceptual master plan is what it is. It does not get you through construction documents, but it is a conceptual master plan.
Okay. Which at such point we can then make decisions about. Yeah. Okay. Do I need to restate this with those changes?
No, I think we'll circle back. I understand, and I think we'll circle back to Vice Mayor Barrett to see if she will accept your request to voluntarily withdraw your prior motion.
I think it was denied. And so it's denied.
Okay.
I would prefer that we amend the original motion, and if we want to incorporate any other amendments, we can do those all at once. The mayor stated he didn't want to incorporate any other amendments.
Okay, so now we have a motion to amend the mayor's motion to strike out
the
word "to" and the words
as in and T-W-O.
Correct.
And then period after courses and removed and review with council. So staff will develop an RFP for competitive bids to operate the town courses. Period.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Town golf courses?
Yep.
Town golf courses, Mr. Cohen?
Yes, sir. I understand. So do we have a second?
I will accept that amendment. Thank you.
Okay. And now we're debating that amendment, that amendment only.
No. It was a voluntary amendment.
Okay.
Not an involuntary amendment.
I apologize. Thank you. Okay.
So I have Councilmember Rodman.
Well, to start with, Mary, in our discussions over the years, and most especially in the last several months, there was a conversation, and it may have come from Troon, may have come from you, may have come from someone, that said actually that the community center improvements, if you will, were probably more important to be done earlier than even the golf. You and I had this conversation just a few days ago again that Troon felt strongly that we should at least be doing it at the same time we're doing the first golf course. And can you restate why they thought that and maybe why you thought that when we talked about it?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rodman, one of the reasons why our staff recommendation does include a recommendation to bond for the community center improvements is for that very reason, which is that the building is kind of it's the hallmark, it's that entryway that people make, and it is part of an attraction strategy to bring in new members, new users to the facility. And certainly, as you all have seen our previous recommendation on the improvements to be made to the community center, not only are there, of course, structural things that need to be made. In fact, I think I calculated recently about $1.3 million of that total is for an elevator and just for the front entrance change to make it handicap accessible. And so that's a pretty big chunk of that total budget, more than a third of it for that. So yes, Troon does believe, and their experience has shown them, that you get a bigger bang for your buck when you spend the money on the building and the gathering place. And I'm not in any way suggesting that we move ahead with the original plan, because we are committed to doing a new master plan, making sure we get that full input, and we get the input of the council to make those changes that would need to be made on, you know, any changes in the restaurant and so forth. But I do, you know, that is our position, and of course we'll follow the direction of council. I think the other thing that is important to, I just want to reiterate and remind the council that while certainly the town has a number of capital projects that compete for resources that we need to prioritize overall, at this juncture, unless there was additional change by the council, the resources in the community center fund are not part of the resources that are competed for those. The resources at this juncture cannot be used for PSPRS, can't be used for anything else other than what the original resolution from council said. And so that, of course, is our direction as staff at this point until and if that were to change in the future. And our analysis shows that one way or another, by what I'll call year seven, since we marked out all of the years with today being year one, or excuse me, this fiscal year being year one, by the end of year seven, we will be able to pay off all of our capital investments, whether we bond it or whether we pay it by cash. And so I think the policy question before council, and I certainly respect the mayor's motion on this, is there an opportunity to see those improvements enjoyed by the community sooner rather than later for the same cost, when our projections, in our view, show that we could afford to make those improvements. We will certainly continue. You know, you heard from Mr. Kiesler that structural issue is something that we'll have to address, and there could be other ones that come up between now and the time that we are able to move forward with the community center. But I think movement forward at all is certainly what we're looking for, and the staff stands ready to follow the direction of council. Thank you.
So I guess my second question is to you, Mr. Mayor, and perhaps to Vice Mayor, since you seconded it. I understand what the words say, and that we'll place the investment in sequence as follows with the Conquistador of the Kenyatta in 21 and 22. Is that your intention, period? That's there's no conditions on that? That this motion is that's what we're going to do? Or is there some conditions you're thinking of that aren't in this motion?
I need clarification, Councilmember Rodman. What do you mean by conditions?
Well, in the past motions, we had target results in our community center fund, and if we did this, then we would do that. But this one doesn't say that. So I would like to believe that means that you are in your motion intending that you have approved to do the Conquistador course and can be completed in 2021, and the Kenyatta course and completed in 2022.
That is the intention.
So would there be any reason why you would change that or make a different kind of motion? Or can we count on that?
Yes. Yes, we can count on that. I mean, this is what the staff has presented. I believe the forecasted numbers support that. I'm fully committed to working with staff, with Troon, with the business community to help make this happen. And when it says completed, that's what it means. Completed in 2021, completed in 2022. I think the community center is undetermined in terms of, because what is known is that we'll have a conceptual master plan in December 2020 that I believe will help inform us as to what the community priorities are and what their support is for various funding strategies, whether that's pay-as-you-go or whether that's competing with for monies, surplus monies in the general funds that exceed that 25% with other projects in the town, or whether that's through bonding. But I think the community should have a voice in that, and I believe largely because the community is already, we've already committed a 20% of our sales tax to the community center fund, which was intended to subsidize the operation, the maintenance, and the capital investment. That's what the commitment was to the community. Now it's fallen short. I acknowledge that. And if it's the community's will that through that process, that the community center improvements are a higher priority than other things in the community, then we'll address it at that point. But even with the town's forecasted revenues, I mean, we're looking at in fiscal year 23-24, so that fifth year out, there would be $2.5 million if we were just simply going as pay-as-you-go. So there's a substantial sum of funds there that comes from the community center that could be invested, or from the community center fund that could be invested into the community center. But to just to reinforce Councilmember Rodman, the intention is just as it says, completion in 2021 for the Conquistador course, 2022 for the Kenyatta course, and yeah.
So the I guess I need to ask, why is your motion putting us in 2021 and 2022 rather than 2020 and 2021?
Because that's what the staff recommended in the presentation and what they provided us with us earlier. I mean, it's taken from their timetable.
Okay, and so, again, is it so that we don't borrow money from ourselves as well? Or I'm trying to understand.
Well, I believe that the borrowing for me, Councilmember Rodman, and other council members, is that if we're going to borrow, then I think we have to look at what are the other priorities in the community, and let's have a conversation about where this falls in comparison to those other needs that we have in our community. I mean, you've stated that the golf is the highest priority. I don't know that that's necessarily true if we were looking at the community as a whole. I understand that for many individuals, it is the highest priority. Is it the highest priority for most of the residents in our community? I'm not entirely sure that that's the case, but nevertheless, in this motion, we're moving forward with doing the needed irrigation replacement for Conquistador at the end of 21, Kenyatta 2022.
Can I ask a question? I'm sorry, it's a multiple question thing, and maybe it's really staff. One of the things I think we lose by waiting that extra year, and I think I said this to Mary when we were talking about what she was thinking about proposing, we may or may not have Troon. So we may or may not have the design work that Troon has said they'll do within their what they were already paying them. So I don't know that we've added, and the other added costs that we've talked about before by an extra year. I'm not sure. I'd like to give you another shot at the staff recommendation in terms of financially, Mary. Did you see this motion before tonight?
No, sorry, I did not.
So you hadn't had a chance for staff to look at it. No, well, you now had a little bit of time. Can you respond to it? Is this the right financial thing to do? Does this make the most sense financially?
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Rodman, I think that, you know, the mayor did state that his number one and number two are reflective of the staff's revised recommendations, and I believe that I reviewed our reasons for why we felt that waiting another year was in the best interest of the town, and in designing them together, bidding them together, I can tell you for sure we would not be able to get two of the courses designed, for sure. So we wouldn't have that benefit of getting them designed together and bid together if we moved forward with something for this summer. The golf and clubhouse restaurant improvements and scheduled for 2023, based on our projections, we would not have enough money to move forward with the whole project at that point. And I think it's far enough away that we would be coming back to you with phasing options, financing options between now and then, that, you know, certainly anything related to maybe there are some other options in terms of funding at that point, and we would be prepared to come back in the future once we get the conceptual master plan, we get some direction on putting architectural
drawings together, probably get some input from a contractor as well as an architect who would recommend those areas that would need to be done first or done together, or you know, that sort of thing. So I think it's far off, and I would suggest to you that while this is direction, I think that it doesn't preclude the council from revisiting financing of or implementation of the clubhouse, the community center facility in next fiscal year for the following fiscal year. And we, of course, would be prepared to come back to council with other options that may be more palatable at that juncture.
It would seem to me, and then I'm done, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your indulgence. It seems to me that until we put a shovel in the ground, council can revisit any of this. And for me, and for what I've heard now for off and on for 4 years, but certainly in the last 6 to 9 to 10 months, is this limbo issue. And is it really going to happen? It's not really going to happen. Should I join? Should I not join? Etc. And until it's done, until we actually put bulldozers out there and start doing things or whatever they're going to use, on both courses, it's not done, to your point of a council can decide to make a different choice. And it would appear that it's less expensive to do it sooner and borrow the money from ourselves and bond the community center than it is this way. I get why. I mean, I understand that that's not everybody's view. But we went through all of this 2 weeks ago on the cost, and it was somewhere around $900,000 difference to wait. Now, we didn't cost this out exactly, right. But it's similar in terms of when we're doing things and not borrowing the money from ourselves to start saving the money and getting additional revenue. If you talk, we talked about it last time, that it isn't like other capital expenses that just fix a roof. It doesn't increase revenue. It may help expenses. But this one, we don't start increasing revenue nor reducing expenses until we actually do it. So why? What's the point? We have the money. Why aren't we doing it? And why aren't we going ahead if there's all the reasons to do a community center early? To approve it now. If you want to look at plans later and say, okay, let's approve, $3 million in bonds, and then we'll bring the structures back to take a look at it. I mean, I can see that if that's not the case anymore. But again, until we do it, it's still limbo. And that's a concern of mine.
Councilmember Nicholson?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to circle back to the 6% increase in the construction costs. I mean, I still feel that it's projected, and they're saying it's going to cost $450,000. The police pension, Melanie mentioned the lost opportunity costs. The same type of money we could use to pay down a police pension, it's at 7%. And that's guaranteed every single year because that's the number they set. So it's 1%, but it's still 1% more than the 6% predicted on a construction cost. And it's just.
Thank you. Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to concur with some of the statements that Councilmember Rodman just made. We had a plan, and these projections and assumptions were brought forth at the last council meeting, and there was no issue. We were going to move forward. Had a vote been done then, either way that it would have gone, if it would have gone, we'd be working on things, and there wouldn't be this discussion tonight. So why tonight? Why the change again? And I'm with Councilmember Rodman. We keep going back to we're putting money on the table, we're spending money. Well, we're wasting money if we don't start these improvements. And it is, whether you want to admit it or not, it's a revenue-generating asset. And the sooner that we start generating it, the sooner we can at least try to get behind what everybody, what a lot of concern has been about, is that we're behind the eight ball. I have a question for the mayor. You talk about having a completion here with this date, and then in some of the conversation you were mentioning, once we find out from the community what the community wants, and I don't see that we've taken uncertainty away from this juncture going out to here. We're still back what I believe to be square one of, okay, well, what if happens if something comes up or the community says this or the community says that? So I'm not convinced, and I think to make a commitment, it's doing it as soon as possible as it was stated at the previous council meeting, where we would have moved forward if that would have been the case. The other thing is, just one more clarification on the area or the where it says the town will manage the Overlook Restaurant operations to support golf and reduce current losses. Food service hours and menu offerings are to be consistent with the needs of a municipal golf course. Well, that's pretty set in stone. So if we're going to wait till we get a community needs assessment on what should be done with the community center, what if it comes back different? And this is already in here. So I think that's a little hard and fast and when it comes to talking about the community center and having that expectation now when you want to look to get an assessment. I'm not convinced that this shouldn't have been the way it was when we looked at this last time. So I'm just frustrated with the fact that we can't get this put to bed because we're arguing over money that we have for an asset that would generate some revenue as soon as possible. So the very reason we've been arguing, we're not getting started on what we need or what we're arguing about, right? So that's my thoughts on this. Thank you.
Councilmember Solomon.
This may be a question for Troon or staff. Okay, municipal golf course. Do municipal golf courses have memberships that contribute a large amount to the operating expense? Yes or no? I thought, what's...
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, I would say it depends. Some municipal golf courses do. Some of them call them annual pass holders, and it depends on the size of the course and that sort of thing. So it's a mixed bag. Probably more don't than
right.
do.
And that was my understanding. I remember that being brought up many times in the golf course discussion that we should not have memberships until it was pointed out that memberships pay the majority of the expenses of the golf course. So we don't have a purely municipal golf course. Yet my Trowbridge motion says we want a restaurant to follow municipal golf course model. But that's not what we have. We have a hybrid model, and we've acknowledged that because of the situation. The other thing I want to point out is, once again, the delays are $450,000 a year in real hard money for no reason, and that's your taxpayer money. That's $450,000 a year that could go to a lot of different projects, do a lot of good. And the largest item is no bonding will be undertaken for community center improvements. You can't get into the community center parking lot now. It's one of the most heavily used facilities, if not the most heavily used facility in the town. This pushes this out 3, 4, 5 years with inflation at 6%. And yes, I can tell you, I'm in the construction industry. Even if the economy goes down, construction inflation is not going to drop because there is such a shortage of labor and material that if the work was reduced in half tomorrow, the cost would still be going up because of the demand on the limited resources within the Tucson market. So we won't be improving the community center for years, and it's already in dire need of repairs, upgrades, improvements, and modifications. So those are the reasons why I just cannot see supporting this motion in its current form.
Okay. I'd like to call the question. Councilmember Jones-Ivy, did you have a comment?
No, I would like for us to vote, though.
Okay. Can we take a vote?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Mayor Winfield?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Pena?
No.
Councilmember Rodman?
No.
Councilmember Solomon?
No.
Okay, the ayes have it. We'll go to discussion item number three.
Discussion regarding the summary results of online survey and focus group regarding the police chief recruitment process.
Okay, we'll take a 10-minute recess. We're going to reconvene our meeting. Mr. Standish, if you could read item three. Let me just check. Councilmember Jones-Ivy, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Thank you.
Item number three, discussion regarding the summary results of online survey and focus group regarding the police chief recruitment process.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I have Councilmember Rodman. Then.
Okay.
The reason that I asked to have this on and Councilmember Pena joined me was that we, in fact, as part of the process for the police chief selection process, we were going to have an online survey, which we did, and that was completed 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm not exactly sure, 30th, I think, of October. And there was also a focus group in which each of us was asked to go ahead and refer folks who would have some reason to have an opinion or a thought or some involvement on the replacement. And that was done, and I'm not sure when, but 30th or 31st of October, et cetera. I understand because I asked the question that the actual summary, this is after we put it on the agenda, but the actual summary is not going to be available from the search consultant until the end of the week. Is that right, Mary? I think you said the 22nd, something like that. But I also understand that when I asked about this, I asked Mary, she said she was going to talk to the search consultant about when and how it will be made public or if it would be, and then came back to say, no, it would be shared with the candidates, but it wasn't going to be public, but it would be shared with us at some point. I didn't get that part, and maybe Mary can tell me when that's going to be that we'll see it. But the real question for, I think it's important information. It's public information. It's public input from the public. I understand in the focus group there weren't even notes being taken. And so I'm not sure exactly how that summary is going to be put together. I'd like to be sure that summary is run by the 10 people that were in the room. And not just sent out so that it is clear that this is what they said or the summary of what they said, certainly not attributable to an individual. But I think it's important, and as I say, it's public input. It should be shared with the public. So I'm disagreeing with the search consultant's thing of saying, no, we wouldn't be doing that, because we should know what we're talking about. This is as big a decision as we have. And you could argue that it's a bigger decision than the year-long golf course conversation we've had, in that it literally does affect very directly everybody in our town. So I guess I'd like to understand whether there's a reason why it will not be shared, or a confirmation that we will share it with the public in the normal ways we share information. That's why it's on the agenda, and I think it's ultimately our decision. It's I don't believe it's the search consultant's decision. What happens to that information? She can give us advice, but I don't think it's her decision. So I guess I would like to see us make it public as soon as it's available, as soon as it's been run by the focus group folks, to be sure they're comfortable that it's a meeting they attended, and so that's what I'm asking. Thank you.
Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't need to reiterate what Councilmember Rodman stated. We both asked to have this on the agenda. I'd like to get an update from staff if there's anything that we don't know since we've had that last correspondence. Has anything changed that we still will not be getting that information unless it's an executive session or the intent to have it in executive session?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, Councilmember Rodman, and I'll turn it over to our Human Resources Director, Mr. Brady, who has been the direct contact with the NOVAC group. regarding this matter, but the last communication that I did forward to council at the beginning of the month was a clarification by the firm that their recommendation to council and part of their recruitment plan, and I'll be careful here about trying to avoid things that were discussed in executive session with the council, but since that particular email is public, that the plan or that the recommendation and intent was that that information is for the decision makers. And I believe, Mr. Brady, did you print out that email? Do you have what that was recommended? I have not received any additional update since then.
The last update that I have was the email from the consultant November 4th when there was a question, I believe it was from Council Member Pena, about the focus groups and online input. I do have that.
So based on that previous information, we do expect that summary information to be provided to the town council through staff. Councilmember Rodman, you're certainly correct. That is the council's decision as to whether or not you know, you'd like to make that information public as upon receipt. And you know, we stand ready to follow your direction.
I would prefer that the online survey and the focus, the stakeholder focus group summaries be made public so that our citizens can see what their community feels about our public safety, our law enforcement agency, and also to get feedback from the focus group, our stakeholders that are part of our community, whether they live here and work here or whether they work outside of Oral Valley and live here. I think the fact that they are citizens, those are public forums, that that information should be made available for our public to see. I do not agree with the recruiter that that is an executive session item. And I would ask our attorney, what would make that an executive session item? And the reason I'm asking this is because I would like to avoid the council getting into a situation where everything is an executive session, because we run a slippery slope of giving the perception that we do town business instead of doing it here in public, that we're doing everything behind closed doors. This is a very, very important decision for our community. And we don't, if we don't have to have certain processes or certain tasks done in executive session and they can be done out in the public, then I think that we need to do that so that we avoid the perception of secrecy and we maintain a level of transparency, especially when we have the safest city in Arizona and public safety. It's not a wedge issue. It happens to be something that affects all of us. So it's very important to me that we have that ability for our residents to see how they all feel about this particular item. So what classifies as executive session items?
I'll explain, but, and this is going to sound like I'm giving you a cute answer, and I'm not trying to be cute, but what makes something an executive session item is something that is presented in executive session.
If it's presented...
You know, if it's not presented in that way, then it's not protected by the executive session privilege. There could be other privileges for documents that aren't presented in executive session, for example, attorney-client privilege. But, you know, if those documents from the third party, and I think that's important to remember, these are third-party documents. If they're not presented in executive session and they're presented in a different fashion, and they're given to you publicly, then those would then be public documents. So, but we also remember that, I'll just stop there. I hope I answered your question.
You did. So to clarify then, it's our understanding that the recruiter is supposed to provide a summary of the online, the public online survey results, as well as a summary of the focus group. Okay, so couple things here. Because we as council members had suggested stakeholders to come and participate in this focus group, they took the time in an evening to go ahead and be there and go through this exercise. The feedback that I received was that from several people that attended, that that recruiter did not take notes. Now, I don't know why, but we were supposed to get summaries. So two things here. I think respectfully, we need to ensure that the people that attended the focus group, that the summary with which is provided, that it recognizes the spirit and what took place in that meeting. So we owe that as a respect factor and also for a transparency factor to those individuals. The other piece of this is the online survey, which was from our residents, citizens, and there was a question on there, are you a resident of Oro Valley, yes or no? So there's not one particular person that's being singled out. It was a summary of those results. So there's not any personnel issue or one person being singled out that indicates what that person provided in that survey. So to me, that is a public forum format that I don't think needs to be in executive session. So I disagree with the recruiter for those reasons.
Understood. My understanding of the issue, and I'm going to have to be careful as well to not discuss things that were discussed in executive session that are precluded from discussion by law, but one thing that you may or may not want to consider on this issue is not so, I don't think there's necessarily, and I could be wrong, I don't think there's necessarily a dispute about those documents eventually being public. I think the timing of the disclosure is an issue for that recruiter. That may be significant to all or some of you. That may be completely insignificant to all or some of you. But the timing of the disclosure is an issue for the recruiter, as I understand it. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, so let's address that. The email that Mr. Brady, our HR manager, had just disclosed to us from the HR or from the recruiter, that is public record. That is on emails. That can be done through a public records request. So there's nothing hidden there. And the reason that she wanted to wait to have this information, this what I would call public forum pieces of information, because eventually it was going to go to a number of candidates. So if it's going to a number of candidates, how is it that it remains private? If you're giving it to one person, absolutely, I can see, oh, okay, we don't have anything to worry about here. But if you're going to give it to multiple people anyways, what does it matter? Because it is a public forum document in both regards. So I would counter that reasoning that it's down the road, we're going to give it out anyways. Okay, well, if it's given out anyways to multiple people, then why can't our public be allowed to see what they feel about our public safety agency, OVPD? And I think we owe it to our citizens. We need to continue to be as transparent as we can to keep things out of executive session where we don't need to. And once again, is to avoid the perception that we're trying to keep from having secrecy in town business, and especially with something as important as the selection of our next police chief. So, thank you.
Councilmember Nicholson and Councilmember Solomon.
Is the recruiter available to ask them why it was done this way, or did Chris get an email about why?
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Nicholson, we did provide to you the response from the recruiter as to the intention of this particular information and the summary information, which should be distributed to you by Friday. That was the schedule, and that's what the email said. I don't believe that Mr. Brady can speak for the recruiter, but we certainly can make arrangements to schedule another time for the council to either meet telephonically with her or, see if we can get her to come in person at some point, if that's your so desire.
Councilmember Solomon.
Right. I agree completely with Councilmember Rodman and Pena. This is a matter, this should be a matter of public record. We have too many times items are discussed in executive session, and sometimes they stray within the executive session, and then we're told by the attorney, according to state law, we can't discuss them, even though perhaps they should never have been in executive session to begin with. So it's like a catch-22. We need to know what our residents have stated regarding our police chief successor. We need to know what our focus group has stated regarding that. In the email, the recruiter basically said, oh, well, we don't want to give that information away to any of the candidates because that could give them an unfair advantage. It's like, no. Shouldn't the candidates know what the community wants in the next police chief if they're applying for the job? And if it's available to all the candidates, nobody has any type of advantage over the other. I'm concerned about the fact that no notes were taken. I've had other concerns regarding this recruiter in the process. And now with them saying, oh, no, we want you to treat this in a, you know, confidentially in executive session, just seems like one more thing is let's hide this from the public and not have it transparent. So, yeah, I just strongly believe that, you know, we should, if we ask her anything, we should ask her, why weren't you taking notes regarding this focus group? These were amazing leaders within our community. And a list of the 13 or so people is public record who took time out of their exceedingly busy schedule. These were CFOs, CEOs of corporations, police chiefs from other jurisdictions, so on and so forth. They were invited by council. Each council member was requested to provide three names of people they would recommend to be a part of this group. And as a result of that, there were 13 people who attended. And I'm sorry, what a slap in the face. Don't even take notes. Does that mean that we gathered all these people who certainly could have been doing a lot of other things whose time is really important? We need to know what the heck happened here. And if it turned out that no notes were taken, there is no summary, then we got to question our payment to this recruiter because something's amiss here. And the same thing with the public survey. This is a public survey put out to all the residents of the town, and now all of a sudden try to classify it as confidential or privileged information, I just think is way off base and should not occur.
Councilmember Rodman.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Just one moment, Councilmember Jones-Ivey. Councilmember Rodman has the floor, and then you're next.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, coming back to the fact it's public input, and to even think we're not sharing public input with the public by itself seems ridiculous to me. It is the kind of information, and especially the focus group, as Steve said, is, you know, we're folks that were region-wide types of folks. Seven or eight of them live in Oro Valley, and all of them interact with the police force in Oro Valley. And so, you know, as we try to, you know, like we do with our meetings, as we try to figure out and educate ourselves about issues, I think this is one of them, since it's an issue that applies literally to every single person in our town, for them to have, help them think about the issue, because at some point there will be public input, there will be some reaching out of some kind, as I understand it. It's an education process as well for the citizens of the town to say, okay, the person who was in charge of the police force for the airport, they work all the time. So what did, you know, they were part of this group. We won't say what that person said unless they want to, but they'll be part of the summary of what this group had to say. And the same thing with the sheriff of Pima County was in that group. And you go down the line, the Oro Valley Hospital executive, dean of the veterinary school and their comments about about public safety. I could go through all of them, but these are folks that have a reason to have knowledge of the interaction between the Oro Valley Police Department and its chief and their areas and their expertise. So, you know, I would just like us, and I don't know that I need to make a motion or not, but I'll make a motion that, in fact, both the summary of the The online survey and the focus group are shared with the public as soon as they're available. In terms of timing, well, you want to second it, somebody? And then I'll talk.
I don't believe the agendized item allows us to do that.
Oh, it's sorry about
just
that.
Just discussion.
Okay.
It should have said discussion and possible.
Can we direct without making a motion?
You technically can't, but I can assure you, and I know that you all are confident that your staff is paying close attention to your comments here.
Yeah, because the timing on it, then I'll finish my sentence and I'll stop. The timing on it, the way I read what I was given after I asked the question and was told that the search consultant was had to weigh in, was that that search consultant wanted to be sure that it was an even playing field for all the candidates. That was one of the reasons. It confused me because they should not know today what these valid surveys and I assume they're valid and focus groups had to say. That doesn't make any sense to me. Of course they should know, and they should know as soon as possible to decide whether or not there's going to be backing for them or there isn't, or how to present themselves when they're going to be interviewed or present themselves in the application. I mean, it's information. If I were applying, I'd want it now. I'd want to know what folks are saying and what's important to the community of a job that I'm going to apply for. So I don't get the timing part at all. I think as soon as we have it, we should share it.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's basically my recommendation. Since we're going to get the results on Friday, can we not just go ahead and put them online?
I mean, that's a possibility, Councilmember Jones-Ivy. I would agree with Councilmember Rodman that this is one of the most important decision that this council will make is the selection of our chief of police. I see former Mayor Loomis in the audience, who was part of the council who selected our current chief, Chief Danny Sharp, and anyone that was on that council speak glowingly of their involvement in that process, and of course their selection of Chief Sharp. My interest is integrity in this process. The process is critical. Ms. Jacobs, could you speak to, first of all, the process of selecting the consultant, and then just an overview? We're talking a little bit of in a vacuum, it feels like, here in terms of the survey, the focus group. What happened before we got to this point? Where are we? Where are we headed? So, how the consultant was selected, and then the overview of the process.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor and members of council, I believe it was late July that the council directed staff to competitively select or go through a competitive process to select a recruitment firm for the recruitment of the police chief position. So, as usual, a scope of work is developed. The scope is sent out to qualified consultants. The town had an internal evaluation committee, which consisted of the chief and myself and HR and Chris and I maybe one other person at that time, and then we also brought to the extent allowable within the confines of the procurement law, we did bring information to council and receive some direction on moving forward with this particular consultant. With regard to the process, I know that
Ms. Jacobs, in terms of the selection committee, who was on the can we?
Certainly myself, the assistant town manager, Chris Brady, our human resources director, Chief Danny Sharp, procurement, chief procurement officer was overseeing the process, and I may be remembering one other, that may be it, so... So it was a broad review. We reviewed all. We had three proposals. We reviewed them. Four proposals. We scored them, and then we brought some information to council and determined that this one was the most advantageous and presented the best process that we felt was a broad process. And
was there any disagreement on the selection team about this book?
Let's have Ms. Jacobs answer this question, and then we need to be a little cautious. I'm trying to be as lenient as I can, but we need to stay with this agenda item. So
Thank
let's
you,
get
Mr.
this
Cohen.
Answer, and we'll move on.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Mr. Mayor, no, it was a consensus on the part of the selection body as to this particular firm. And then if I may, again, just to kind of summarize where we are in the process, because I think one of the reasons why this firm was selected is because of their breadth and because of that community input piece, which is exactly what you're talking about today, which is that the survey piece that went out to the community, the focus group. And then where we are in the process, since Mr. Brady is our point person with the, and he's more familiar with our schedule, perhaps Mr. Brady could just briefly review that.
Sure. Where we are now with the process is the summary will be released Friday, as we discussed. Then the position was posted November 1st. Council, myself, the chief, town manager, we were all sent a memo with the outline of the schedule to let everybody know it'd be posted November 1st. It was. The first review of applications will be December 10th. And then around the beginning of January, council will have a chance to review the candidates. Over a couple days, we have scheduled for that. And if a selection is made then the background check process would start toward the middle of January. And we hope to have a selection toward the end of January.
Okay. And with that, we need to make sure let's stick with the agenda item, which is the online survey. And focus groups.
Okay, thank you. I think for discussion purposes, just with some of the questions that have been raised about whether or not notes were taken during the focus group, questions about why the consultant believes that this public survey information should be retained specifically to the council, and then applicants, I think, to me, it seems warranted for the council to have a conversation with the consultant to clarify some of these things before I would be comfortable in providing any kind of direction. Or that would be my direction. Let's talk to the consultant.
Mr. Mayor.
Council Member Pena.
Yeah. So, Mr. Cohen, what is the process if for some reason there's a question about what is an executive session and what's not? Who makes the final decision on that? What's the process?
Well, I mean, typically we'll have something on the agenda for an executive session, and we have to have a motion and a second. So if there's a motion and a second to go into executive session, we do. If we don't have that motion and second, we don't. So that's the general process.
What I probably should have clarified.
And maybe I didn't understand. I apologize.
Oh, and I apologize, too. So if we have a question of whether an item is even qualifies for executive session, who makes the decision on that?
Mayor, Councilmember Pena, typically I do.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because the executive session, there's a statute that sets forth, and I think it's seven, I might be off on one or two, but there's basically seven or so circumstances in which an executive session is allowable. So I'm the one who will screen a request to go into executive session and make sure it fits within the ambit of the statute. And if it does, and if there's a request to go into executive session on an appropriate item in a second, we go in. If not, and it doesn't fit the statute, I will not allow it.
And if we disagree with you, where does it get escalated to?
You're scaring me.
I don't mean to.
No.
Just trying to really, this is an important issue. And
I understand.
To get to
I think it comes back down. I think if you disagree, you disagree whether the law
No, I'm disagreeing.
Allows it, or whether if it's a motion and a second to go in executive session, and then there's a vote, and the majority go in, you go in. So you can vote against it, but if the majority say we're going to go into executive session, and it's allowed by law, we would go in, right? So it's decided by you folks, really, ultimately.
So there's no higher authority that we would go to err in on whether this item would qualify for executive session?
Well, I can tell you, and I've done the research, I can tell you that a conversation with an executive search firm to do a recruiting search, mm-hmm, for an administrative position or an officer position, the law does allow, and I checked that before we did in the past, that it certainly qualifies from a legal standpoint to have that conversation with that individual in executive session. Whether you all want to do that or not, it will be decided by you folks. If I'm being clear, I hope I'm helping. I'm trying to be.
I'm speaking specifically of the item, not the person going into executive session.
You're talking about the documents?
Correct. Who has the final authority to determine whether an item goes into executive session?
I think I'm understanding you. When you say item, you're talking about a document.
Correct. Such as the focus group summary and the online survey summary.
Well, I'm struggling here as I'm trying to think about this on the fly, but one interesting fact here that is somewhat significant, at least in my mind initially, is that technically these documents that we're talking about, they're that search firm's documents. So there's a possibility, and I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, and I tend to think some of this will be cleared up if and when there's a conversation with the executive search firm. But being that as it may, if that search firm is told that that document, you know, is going to be made public, you know, we can't make them provide the document. Okay. It's their document.
Okay. So if, as a council, if we requested that those be made public, they would have the opportunity to say, no, they're choosing not to do that.
I can't imagine they would, but it's certainly a possibility. Okay. I'd be surprised if they did that.
Okay. But. So, getting back to the mayor mentioned the word integrity in this process. So I would hope that the recruiter understands that because it is an important item in this community as far as having input and hearing that input with this important decision, that would definitely weigh.
And again, I know you all, I am, and I know you all from your comments publicly are confident in the staff, and they're listening to you very carefully, and I'm confident that Ms. Jacobs will probably tomorrow morning make that very clear to the recruiter.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments from council? Vice Mayor Barrett?
I just want to comment that one of the reasons I haven't weighed in on this yet is because, to me, this item is kind of a surprise in the sense that I haven't heard from the executive recruiter or anything like that about what their reasoning is one way or the other. And so for me, while I agree with a lot of the perspectives and points that are said here, I feel a little hesitant giving direction just until I understand what that perspective is. But and I don't feel like I've had that opportunity. I haven't had that conversation with Ms. Jacobs or with the executive recruiter or with the HR directors or anyone. So, I mean, to this point, I haven't even gotten the opportunity to hear from that professional what their perspective is. And so that's why, I mean, I'm not against making survey summary results public. In fact, I've asked for survey summary results in the past, even before I was on the council. I think it's good for the community to know those kind of things. I just don't feel like I'm fully aware of both sides of the issue on that. So I'll leave it.
Councilmember Rodman?
Can I ask for what the process is here then if we need to ask the person? I don't agree with you, Gary. It's not their documents. We're paying for them. So I would argue very strongly it's not the search firm's documents. They did it at our request, and we're paying them to do it. But regardless of that, when are we going to hear from this person, and in what setting? And let's set that. because I don't want this. I would prefer this not hanging out there forever. They will be available Friday. So how are we going to close the loop on this if we're before we get a direction or whatever we need to talk to this person?
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Rodman, members of council, I do think that it would be fair, given that there have been some questions about procedure, manner in which something is being done, whether or not notes are taken or whatever. I can't answer those questions, and I think that the Novak and Associates is a highly qualified firm and has reasons and practices for way they do them, and I think that they deserve an opportunity to clarify some of those things with the council. I would be happy to have Mr. Brady reach out to our primary representative tomorrow morning and see if we can't get something scheduled even telephonically with the council. My recommendation would be that we do it in an executive session so that you can continue to have the conversations about the recruitment process. But again, that would be my suggestion, just so we don't step on some of those things that were discussed and are privileged at this point, according to the law. But I'm certainly happy to reach out, and if we can't get her or representative out in person, I'm certain that they would make themselves available as quickly as possible for a phone conversation and answer any of those questions and provide any clarification that the council needs so that we can receive that direction.
I would ask that you relay to them, at least some of us who have the concern, and if they say, well, it's okay with me, that they can say it's okay with me. If the only reason we're not thinking about sharing is because they've said that they prefer not, if they change that, then we don't have to have another meeting as far as I'm concerned. To Councilmember Pena's point, we're talking about going into executive session about process. It's process. We're not asking to hear about a candidate. We're not asking to hear about a person and what that person said or what that person did online. We're just a process. How are we going to share the information? To me, Gary, to your point that the whole thing is okay with executive session, I agree. But pieces of it, I think, aren't. Pieces of it, I think, are process. And process should be public information. So I'd like to see us move that direction in this process, which is one of the reasons I put it on here, so that we can make it clear to us and to the public that we are being as open as we can be. We don't want to put people in bad spots or share information that they didn't want shared. Or I get all that, but that's what I'm hoping we come out of this with: is every time we have a choice, it should be public. That's what I'm trying to get to, and I'd like to see if there's a reason why the search consultant doesn't agree with that.
Okay. So for this particular item, I have two individuals that have submitted blue cards. So if you'd like to come forward, Danette Buley.
Mr. Mayor and council members, thank you very much.
So if you could just speak into the mic.
You can pick it up if you want.
It's right. Especially for folks that are listening, and we have a council member that's listening on the phone. No.
Is that not on?
Is it green?
Okay, now it's green. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Mayor and council members, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you. I've been sitting here for quite some time waiting to talk on this particular issue. I'm one of the people that was invited to sit in the focus group, and I appreciate the opportunity to participate in this process because it is an important decision that you have before you. I run the airport. I run a police department. So I think the input that I have in the process is important. I did share my comments with the consultant, as did the other 10 or 12 members. I don't recall any notes being taken. I recall having a card that I wrote notes on and handed her. So I am interested in seeing the results of this, because as a member of our community and a resident of Oro Valley, it's important to me. And what concerns me is that it was a consensus of go internal. And then it's posted. So I'm not sure if our input was really valued. And there was no Oro Valley staff member there. I didn't sign an NDA saying I can't talk about this, so I don't understand executive session or any kind of privacy. It was just our opinions. So I am a little concerned about that on the process end. I think it's very wise of this council to ask some very important questions of other members and of the opinions shared that in that evening, because the information that I shared could have been easily done on the survey, which I participated in also. So I think it's very important to look at the information and look at your process. I realize my time is limited. Thank you very much, and I wish you very great success in this process. It is important for our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Ivanoff.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, council members, thank you for your time. Thank you for allowing me to be up here. I am a resident of Oro Valley. I've been a resident here since 2001. I'm also significantly the chief of police for the Tucson Airport Authority. I'm also the vice president of the Tucson Airport Authority, chief operating officer. So I think I can speak with a little bit of authority here when I can and tell you a little bit of what my concern is with the situation that's going on here. Is that while we're talking about making this public record for the benefit of the citizens of Oro Valley, we're really needing to make it public record for the police department personnel, because they are distraught. It's difficult on them being in this situation. You are about to name their boss, and it means a lot of things to them. So when we're debating on whether this should be an executive session or not, whether we're debating or whether we should even have had a search outside of the department, is really that's not really the point. The point is that these men and women that are sworn to protect you, whether they like you or not, whether they agree with you or not, they will protect you to their very last breath, because that's what we do in our job. To cavalierly talk about the PSPRS system the way it was earlier today was a little disturbing to me. And I think that, and the reason I bring it up in this context, and I'm not getting off topic, council, believe me.
Close.
I know. But I'm not. And the reason that I bring it up the way I did is because, again, that lends towards what these ladies and gentlemen in uniform are going through right now. When you name a new chief of police, it's difficult. It's a daunting task. It's extraordinarily important. And a couple of things that I would say is, if Oro Valley Police Department is broken, by all means, do what you're doing. If it's not, I don't understand. The second thing I learned as a chief is that just because you're in charge doesn't mean you're right. So you guys have got a lot of responsibility set before you, and I would urge you to please think about what Chief Sharp has done to get your department in our town to this point. This is the safest town in the state, not by accident, but by hard work and by the hard work of these people behind me. So what I would urge you to do is please consider that. Make this public. Make them understand. Communicate clearly with them. And I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying that it tends to be, at your level of thinking, you guys, I'm assuming that none of you have ever served in a uniform before. Please consider that this is an extremely important decision and should be made public. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. So we're at this point in the agenda, we're going to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38431 03A3A4 for legal advice with the town attorneys, discussion and consultation with those attorneys and designated town representatives, and possible instruction to those attorneys and designated representatives about proposals or agreements related to the town-owned golf courses, HSL, and/or homeowners associations proximate to those courses. I make a motion to go into executive session with the town manager, assistant town manager, town attorney, finance director, and the town clerk.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we're going to resume the special session. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.